Long live the SNES monster.
This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for July 20th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. Hello, everybody. This is Scott. Have you played Rocket League? You haven't? Well, what are you doing? If you own a PS3 or 4 and you have Plus, then you have no excuse. Just go get it because it's free right now for the month of July. It's totally free. It's still free. It's still sitting there. If you haven't gone in there and checked, what are you freaking doing? Look, I know on paper it says driving cars around hitting a soccer ball into a net. I know that seems silly and kind of dumb. It's not either of those things. It is the most shockingly good thing to come out of video games in months. And it's free over there. And if you have Steam, it's only $20. It's $19.99 on the PC. Well, I guess just on the PC in general. You don't have to have Steam. I don't think it's exclusive there. It's amazing. It's insane. I recorded some video, did some streaming, played with my son. He and I had some games together. I beat down some fools. I lost some games. I unlocked some cars, some decals, some antenna bobber things. I have been playing it to its full extent and having a great time with it. And you should too. And I don't know why you're not. What are you doing? It got added to the, who put it on some, one of the big esports network things, put it on their roster for both UK and US play. How do you do that? Like a week after a thing's launched? Come on now. There must be something good about that game. It's the most intense I've felt about a multiplayer experience since probably my early Quake 1 days, maybe Unreal Tournament days. Those were pretty good days. But I've not felt this kind of exhilaration. And not even, I don't even feel this kind of same exhilaration in a game like Heroes of the Storm, which I really like a lot. But that is a more progressing, slower paced experience. You can have some incredible endings, but it's more of a sustained experience. This is just the most over the top. It's sports. It's playing sport. It's sports without the sports. It's cars knocking soccer balls into nets. Come on now. You got your turbo. You got your stuff. I really cannot say enough about Rocket League, and I plan to make that a common occurrence in my life. I also, on a whim, because I wanted to see where they were at, what they were doing, what they've been up to, I downloaded Path of Exile again, which I had for quite a while. Played, I didn't play it any maximum character levels or anything, but I played a fair amount of it. Back in the day, this sort of Diablo-ish action RPG with a very different kind of currency system. It's free to play, but it's all cosmetic stuff you buy, so it's not like a thing that's always nickeling and diming you. It's still good. It's still good. I started a new character because I couldn't remember what I was doing, and I can play that a little bit. I say that, but then this new Diablo patch will hit, and then I'll probably go back to that pretty heavily, so. Them's are the way them's apples grow on that tree. What? That's not a phrase. It's not even a saying. I don't know what that is. I just want to stop and play Rocket League. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Speaking of Heroes of the Storm, some good news. If you are a fan of Blizzard's MOBA, a.k.a. their online brawler, they like to call it. I don't know if they're still pushing that or not. Quick Match should now do a much better job of keeping you newbies apart from you veterans. It's a very small tweak already in the game to the matchmaking part of it. So this is, I would presume, mostly on the client or on the server, not really the client. The client doesn't really matter in this case. And it's how the game matches up experienced players with newcomers. In a post the other day, they outlined the new matching rule, and this is how it works. HOTS now takes into account the number of quick match games players have played. So in other words, if someone has 3 games under their belt, they will be far less likely to be played up or matched up against somebody who's played, say, 300 games. And this seems like it's pretty important to both player types. All right? While you may be in a match where veterans could offer useful tips, they don't really, do they? How many veterans do you know that stop and go,
You seem to be bad. Allow me to offer advice. Some sage wisdom for my time playing the game.
I don't think they do that. However, it sucks if you're a newbie and you're thrown into a match with a bunch of experienced players and just get your butt handed to you, and it's not a very good experience. So I think it's the right thing for them to do. I'm glad they're doing it. And they're not going to, I mean, this, let's make it clear. This isn't going to completely eliminate 100% these chances of you being matched with a crappy player or a crappy player being matched with a great player. But it should make things a little better, especially if you're entering as a team. It's going to take your averages into account and hopefully have a better matching experience. And I can say over the last couple of days, I think that's what I've seen. Fallout Shelter made $5.1 million in 2 weeks, its first 2 weeks. This is according to Super Data. This is a research firm. According to them, Shelter earned $5.1 million in the first 2 weeks of availability alone. That means more money since. And while Apple does get a 30% cut, like they do with all this stuff, that's still pretty impressive. And remember, Bethesda got up on stage when they announced this thing and said, we're not even doing this to make money. It's all for fun and to get people excited about Fallout. Well, now it's also to make money. And they seem to be doing that just fine. The game has microtransactions, but it's a very small part of the game. And turns out that's it's big enough. It may be small, but big enough to make them a whole bunch of freaking money. I'm not playing that anymore, though. I'm done with it. I squeezed all I want out of that game. Have you? Are you still going, or did you do? Are you done like me? The new PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC sandbox style game coming out based on the Warhammer 40K universe. Oh, you guys know how I feel about those. It's an action RPG. We're talking Diablo. Van Helsing and King Arthur developer NeoCore Games. This is an announcement made on Wednesday. Said that the Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr game. I don't know what that means. Anyway, this is the Budapest studio over there. NeoCore Games. Excuse me, they're calling it a persistent sandbox action RPG. I definitely want to know more. It's coming out in 2016 for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. They said this in a statement that you will, even after you complete the campaign, the narrative will continue to unfold by way of its colossal sandbox, unquote. They say you'll be able to, quote, have years of constant entertainment, unquote, through regular add-on content and more. So, yeah, these guys are working with Games Workshop. And that seems pretty cool. It says this, there's a reason we chose the world of Warhammer 40K. It's intense, brutal, and visceral. A perfect material for an action RPG. It's a strange translation. He says, we're huge fans as well, so we care deeply about this game. Well, I hope you do, damn it, because I love 40K and you better not besmirch it. FIFA 16 put a woman on the cover for the first time ever. Here in the States, anyway. For the first time in the history of the FIFA series, man. A lady soccer player will be featured on the U.S. cover. EA, it's in the game, sports, announced Monday, I guess, that Alex Morgan, she was one of the players that helped lead the United States women's national team to victory in the World Cup, will be on the cover. She's there alongside Lionel Messi, who is the global FIFA cover star. And she says it's a great honor to be one of the first women featured on the cover of FIFA. According to Morgan in a statement, I know people all over the world who play this game. I'm really excited that FIFA 16 is putting such an important spotlight on women's soccer. And now to share the cover with today's greatest player is surreal, unquote. Good for her, man. That's awesome. Being the first on anything is cool, right? Always. New Witcher 3 patch came out and it dinged you PS4 and Xbox players, at least on frame rate and other issues, I guess, are being reported. This is the new feature patch 1.07. This had the new controller scheme in it, which I quite like. I'm playing it on PC, and I haven't had any problems. But apparently, performance is being impacted on the console versions of the game. And specifically, they're saying if you're in the area Crookback Bog, that things take a real hit. Your performance could go lower than 20 frames per second during that time. They say that you were pretty close to locking it at between 25 and 30 previous to the patch. Now you're closer to 20 throughout. That's what some are saying. So 8 frames or more per second slower than previous performance. That's not good, Witcher people. I'm guessing they'll follow up with another patch. But if you've got a beefy video card and you're playing it on the PC, you're probably fine. I have not had any problems. Whoa, that made a weird noise, didn't it? That could be a sign of something. Brand new Street Fighter V character has been revealed. Nikali is how I want to pronounce it. I hope I got that right. Capcom's revealed a new character. He's going to join the Street Fighter V lineup. And it's in this trailer thing. It's they showed it at the Evo series thing that happened over the weekend. And I guess the style includes attacks which have him pounding the grounds, a real ground pounder, slashing at enemies, and a V-trigger move that transforms his appearance dramatically, it says here. Turns his long hair into gravity-defying bright red. How's that sound for you? I don't know if I care about Street Fighter anymore. I used to care a lot. I don't care anymore, I don't think. I want to care. I don't know. Kind of done with fighting games for a while. Brand new. I already told you that one. Batman Arkham City PC getting an interim patch in August. Speaking of patches to help performance. You guys remember the big stink up, right? People aren't talking about it as much now, but the troubled PC port of Batman Arkham Knight. They're saying we'll not get a major patch other than these little trinkety ones they've been doing lately until at least September. And there will be some sort of middle ground interim, the word interim is what they're using, patch in August. Warner Brothers says Rocksteady and our partners are targeting an interim patch update for existing players to be released in August. Specific details on what will be included in the patch were not shared. According to GameStop, they went on to say, "We would like to thank you for your continued patience and invaluable feedback and angry tweets. We are continuing to monitor and listen for any additional issues that are driving and are driving towards a full update for everyone as quickly as we possibly can." So there you go. Amazing game. Terrible hiccup. We should all feel bad. All Xbox One owners can now steam anything. You can stream games from Windows 10 devices or to them. Sorry, not from, to. So there you go. We knew about it earlier this year. Xbox One preview program members got it in June. Now everyone can do it if you have Windows 10 installed on a PC. So you'll need to do a few things. On your Xbox One, go to the preferences area and in the settings menu, enable allow game streaming to other devices. You have to have that on. Then you got to make sure you have the newest Xbox app installed on Windows 10. That needs it. I assume this is... When's Windows 10 out? It's like next week, right? Or is it this week? Forget now. Connect a wired Xbox One or Xbox 360 controller to your device, meaning your computer probably, or I guess your tablet or phone or whatever. Go to the home menu, choose the game you want to play in the recently played section and choose play from the console. Alternatively, you can go to the game streaming section of the home menu. It allows you to control your Xbox One directly from your PC or tablet. This is important to note. This isn't like this passive thing your Xbox does while you're streaming to Windows. If it's doing that, nobody else can use it. So it's not like you can do that and your wife can plop down and watch, you know, Project Runway season 20 while you're playing. You've essentially taken the thing over. So that's important to remember, just to remember it. But it's a cool thing and I want to try it. I guess I need a one to try it. I definitely will have the PC. Shenmue 3's Kickstarter ended at $6.3 million. That is the most for any video game ever, forever, always. 69,320 backers. Now, that's a lot of money, and that seems like a lot of backers, but do you remember that rule that always says if you don't sell a million copies of a game, it wasn't successful? 69,320 people is not anywhere near that. Now, that doesn't mean they won't sell more after the fact. Nor does it mean, well, this is what it probably means. It means that Kickstarter and things like this are the way to get a thing like this made anymore. Because that's a significantly lower number than some big publisher would demand. It's enough to justify the few millions you have to raise to build it and ship it for this rabid fan base. I guess what I'm saying is, I guess I think it's cool that there is a method and a mechanism for games like this to be made for smaller niche audiences. Because there's no way Shenmue is a big giant release and competes with the big boys during the holidays. It just doesn't do it. So anyway, That's pretty good, right? It's coming out for both PC and for PlayStation 4. Sony, I guess, is helping, still in the role of helping market it, and said they will not be receiving any of the money raised through Kickstarter, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if this is just in their best interest to push it or if they're going to get money some other way. It seems a little weird. But if I had to guess, at some point, Xbox players will get that game too. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. That's where my head's at. Midway. Excuse me. You guys remember Midway? Hold on. I clear my throat. They're not the island, not the Battle 4, but the embattled, defunct company in the 90s that was the biggest arcade developer in the U.S. at the time. Brought us games like Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, Terminator 2, the arcade game, among many others. And they were a big deal, man. Midway was a big deal. And then things went weird, and Midway got sold off and then broken apart. And now people have little bits and pieces of it. Warner Brothers owns Mortal Kombat, and I don't know who all owns other stuff. But point is that things didn't end well. NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, what else? What other games? Plenty of games, lots of games, right? Well, someone's making a documentary, and that sounds great. Josh Tsu, I think is his name, who worked for Midway back then, is actually putting this documentary together. So it's a Kickstarter. They're asking for $75,000 to finish the documentary. They've already got a bunch done. In 2012, he described Midway as the Wild West and like Lord of the Flies at the time. And that there's a crazy bunch of stories behind the games we all love and know. He, these days, by the way, also helps run Robomondo, which is working on the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 game. So he's still in the games business. Anyway, he thinks it'll be released sometime in May 2017. If you want to go check it out, just search for Midway Documentary on Kickstarter. And you, too, can be a part of history. Time for your feedback, phone calls, and emails. It's what we like here on the show, this little dog and pony video game show. Emails can be sent to boopshow@gmail.com. You can send your voicemails to 801-471-0462. We start with this one.
Hey, Boop. This is Robert Brown from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm testing out my new Yeti Blue microphone that I'm about to use for a podcast myself. Anyway, I just wanted your opinion on something, Scott. I eventually broke up with Destiny over the past week due to certain shenanigans they've been pulling with the Taken King and the way they've handled the emotes and everything. Anyway, I've got more than a few people in a group I play with who are a little butthurt over the fact that we left, and one of them basically mentioned that if we didn't have enough money to buy 12 to 14 or more games a year, and as well as all the subsequent DLCs, that you shouldn't care much about playing anyway, that you just shouldn't do it. And with all the glorious free-to-play games that are out there now, just wanted your opinion on that. Should you necessarily have a budget if you want to get into gaming or anything related to that? And just want your thoughts on it. So weigh in. Hopefully this makes it to the show. And as always, boop.
Yeah, thanks, man. So my opinion on budgeting for game. I don't know. See, so much of it depends on the value for value, right? I want to give money to devs and publishers that are making things that I really like. And like anything in life, I don't want to buy a bad burger. I want to buy a good burger for lunch, right? You go to Starbucks, you want a decent cup of coffee or a good cup of coffee for your $3.50 or whatever. You don't want a piece of crap in a cup, right? It's the same thing. So I evaluate everything that comes out based on kind of those rules. And it's a combination of qualifiers like good friends I trust in the industry or otherwise that are, you know, approaching games with a similar approach that maybe I have and like things I like. And their opinions have helped me in the past. That's important to me. Also, sites and podcasters and people that I trust for reviews and things. Those make a difference. Developers' track record. There's a very good chance that if Blizzard makes a game, I'm probably going to like it. They've never let me down, not once. I've never played a game of theirs I didn't like. I've played some that I'm bad at. Like, I'm not really great at Hearthstone, and so I kind of get tired of it because I'm not good. And that may be more about my schedule than anything. But that's an example of a thing that that is still a good game, and I knew I'd want to play it. But whether it's a free-to-play game or a game that costs money, it's still going to cost you time and then possibly money on top of that. So you really have to evaluate the value of the thing coming out. I don't think there's... This is what I'm going to say. Hopefully this will make sense to you and your friends, dear caller. To have a stance that says, I'm not supporting any company that makes DLC, or I'm not going to support any company that has microtransactions, or I'm not going to support any company that does a free-to-play model, or that builds a game like Destiny and is going to milk me every year for $60 for a new expansion cost, $20 of which is for emotes or whatever that was. That stance is a weird stance. I don't think you can do a blanket one like that and be very happy. I think you need to go case by case, issue by issue, game by game. And just flat out going, I'm not buying a thing EA ever publishes, will mean you're going to miss out on a bunch of really great gaming experiences and a chance for EA to adjust how they do business and maybe improve in your eyes. Like, I've never understood the all or nothing, the binary one or zero of buying a game or not based on some extemporaneous condition. So make decisions based on real stuff. Don't do it based on hyperbole and people's anger and stuff like that. It's a waste of time.
Hey, Scott, this is David calling for the Boop Show. Just listened to your segment on the previous episode regarding backwards compatibility with the Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One. As a new father, I around the time the console came out, had a couple of Xbox games that I just haven't had a chance to play yet. And my TV stand is limited in space, so I actually had to move my Xbox 360 to a poor location where I don't really want to play my 360 games. So I'm very happy to hear that I can actually play those Xbox 360 games on my Xbox One on my nice TV. So I actually am really happy about that, and I wish Sony would do the same. So it does matter to me. Boop!
All right, let's assume that the two games you're talking about work, because they're still, you know, it's a list. It may be a big list, but it's a finite list of games that will support it. Let's say that your two support it, that there's no performance issues, that it's awesome, okay? I want the best for you, so that's what I'm going to assume. When you're done with those two games that you had left over, you won't care after that, right? So I guess what I'm saying is I have the same stance I've always had. I think it's cool they're doing it. I think it's totally cool they're doing it. I also wish Sony would do it, but I think a lot less of us care than we say we do. I think you have a case where you could make a case for it. Yep, this is perfect because I got these two games I never played. Once you play them, though, you're now back in the party of who cares? Because all you're going to want is the new stuff. And everybody will eventually be in that boat. So I'm of two minds. One is, great, thank you. That's awesome. Microsoft did and should have done what they did. It's great. Totally cool. And I wish all people would do it. But I just can't get behind the thinking out there that somehow this is this holy angel in the sky here to bless our lives. It's just a thing that we want. We think we want more on paper than we actually do. That's how backwards compatibility has always been. When the 360 was briefly backwards compatible with the original Xbox, when the PlayStation 3 had backwards compatibility, had actual PS2 hardware in it, that seemed great to everybody until nobody cared, which was real quick. And that's why they quit making it. And that's what'll happen here. That's all I'm saying. And I think it's great that you're going to get to play those two games, though. And people who own digital stuff, like, you know, Geometry Wars or whatever game you love from that era, from the arcade stuff, beauty. You should get to keep playing those games. In fact, if anything, okay, let me say this. If anything comes out of this little initiative, here's what I hope it is. I hope that them doing this is more about how long-term we can keep playing the digital downloads we play, meaning the indie stuff, not like big, you know, Halo games, but I mean like the small stuff. How long will our purchases carry over? It'd be nice to see those carry much longer than they have previously. And this is a right step in that direction. So in that case, you can make a real strong argument for that. And maybe it's just a side benefit that disc games also work if they get the right licensing and stuff. But, you know, for example, those two games, Prototype 1 and 2 are coming out as HD-ified, like collector's edition, whatever things. Enhanced editions on the Xbox One, you can't backwards compatible play the 360 versions. They're identical, just up-resed, but you can't play backwards compatibility on those. If you want to play those two games, you're forced to go spend $40 for the pair or whatever it is. So keep in mind, business blocks a lot of these being compatible. So you want to make sure the two games you're talking about are, but assuming they are, and they don't fall into those categories, then good for you, man. You should get to play what you want to play. Got an email from Mitchell, wrote and said, "Hey, Scott, just thought you should know that if you never miss an episode of the show, July 9th would have been the 100th episode of the show. That means you've missed 11 shows, and I've noticed every one of them. Love the show, though, and keep it up." Boop, Mitchell. Yeah, I told you, though. I warned you. July. It's hard. I can't do 2 a week sometimes. This week, maybe. Next week, no way, because it's Nerdtacular the week after. So, not this week, but the next week. Oh, my gosh, dude. I'm not ready. After that, though, after the dust settles from that, everything back to normal. Really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the event, but it'll be nice after to just kind of go, okay, whew, let's get everything back on track. So don't worry about that. One more email from Daniel. Rodin says, "I was curious if you ever beat Rogue Legacy. Thanks for turning me on to this game, by the way. I have about 50 hours playing, and I've only downed the one boss. I haven't heard you mention the game in a long time, so I just wanted to see where you're at. Love the show." Boop, Daniel. So, Daniel. I wouldn't say I beat it. I got pretty freaking far, though. I got further on the Vita than I did the PC version, which is the one I played first. And I'll probably return to it. I just found, like, that is one of the most addicting, longest time played rogue things I've ever played. But there is a limit where I go, okay, I need a break. And I've had a break for now for probably 6 months or something. So I'll go back to it. Don't worry. It's one of my favorite games. Freaking love that thing. Xbox One getting it this fall, right? What took that so long? They should have had that before now. That's a great game. Everyone should have it on all platforms ever made, ever, of all time. (800) 471-0462 is that phone number. Call, leave a voicemail, play it on the show. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Attachments are welcome there as well, if you would prefer to go that road. We're at frogpants.com/boop is the website. Boop Show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson on Twitter. Still time to get in on the myextralife.com definitive book collection. You can head over there to myextralife.com/book, and there's a hardcover option now. So if you're interested in that, details up on the update page on Kickstarter. Do check it out. There's just about 10 days left. What else? That's it. Thank you guys for being here. Oh man, so great having you here. Thank you so much. Oh, support the show. If you want to support us another way, a small way, go to patreon.com/frogpants. Every little bit helps. I'm leaving you today with a song. This is Kirby's Dream Land 3, Dreamin' of Them Funky Ripples. Yeah, that's right. Yo. It's a pretty cool remix from, if you're a Kirby fan, you're going to immediately find this not only recognizable from Kirby's Dream Land 3, is it? Did I tell you that? Yeah, Kirby's Dream Land 3. Great game. And the song is immediately familiar, and you'll remember why they make such great music in those games. And I'll play it here for you now. You're going to love it. I'll hopefully be here Thursday, if not next Monday, but I'm planning on Thursday this week. So hopefully see you guys then. If you have any thoughts, questions, or comments, all our details at frogpants.com/boop. That's going to do it for us. I'll see you guys next week. Nope, I'll see you on Thursday. Nope, maybe next week. Nope, maybe Thursday. All right, see you then. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.